Jesus asked a soul-searching question. John 6. He's been speaking various doctrinal truths. If you flip your Bible back, notice with me if you would, chapter number 3, and you'll see verse 1. There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the great passage, you must be born again. And he said, I'm amazed that you don't know this truth. And he was a religious leader in Israel. You'll notice chapter 4 was the woman at the well. And Jesus was tired and sitting on the edge of a well around noontime, and a woman came up that didn't know the Lord. She had five husbands, and she was living with someone at that point in time, and she got saved. And then he's preaching, and in chapter 6, you'll notice verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. This is the feeding of the 5,000. So keep in mind, if you can get the scene today, there are apparently great numbers out there listening to him. And when he finishes preaching, he said, I am the bread of life. You must trust me. And there are different groups of people. And so some started going away. You'll notice in verse number 66 of our text, John 6, 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then he made a statement, verse 67, will ye also go away? Now I ask you this morning, anybody in this room, have you questioned, should I do something different with my life? Is Jesus worth serving? Is really the truth what I believe? Soul-searching questions. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, the 12 closest to him, will ye also go away? Knowing in his heart that one of them was. You will notice in verse number 70, we didn't read it, but he said, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. You know, I think this was Jesus' greatest effort to get Judas to surrender his heart. Will you also go away? They watched the thousands, and he had fed them all. Now, that would have been enough to convince me to watch him take a little boy's lunch and feed thousands with it. It would have been enough to convince me if I'd have been among the thousands or if I'd have been among the 12. I would have thought. But somehow Judas saw that, brushed it off. And then Jesus looked at him and said, will you guys also go away? And Judas listened, but did not surrender his heart. I want you to see this morning, some were debating if Jesus was real and worth trusting. You know, it's still going on today. It's still going on today. There's a debate. Is Jesus worth trusting? Is Jesus real? And maybe you're here today and you're debating that. Well, I'm reminded that Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he came by night because he didn't want his friends to know he was debating trusting this Jesus. So he comes to him by night and he says, you know, Lord, could I ask you a few questions? You know, how does a person basically get to heaven? And Jesus said, you must be born again. And he says, I don't understand. How can one be born of his mother a second time? He said, no. You must be born physically first and then spiritually second. And he didn't understand it. He just was debating. He said, that just doesn't make sense to me. How that you must be born again. He got lost in the illustration and didn't understand the point. And so there are always going to be people that don't understand it. Your work. Notice, if you would, look in verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. There's also those going to be that decide not to trust Christ. Unbelievers. There will always be those that are debating it, and there will be all those always be those that decided to determine he's not real. I pray this morning that everybody in this room has left those two positions. As a teenager, as an adult, you've decided Jesus is real, and I want to trust him where I have trusted him. You know, it's a simple thing. Jesus said you must be born again. And in John 12, he said, if you believe in me, you'll be made into my son and daughter. He said, but as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I've had people say, Pastor, we have a baptism this morning. You know, I've already been baptized once. And trying to explain to them, look, baptism is a testimony to the people and to the Lord that you've already trusted Christ. How can you baptize a child? It doesn't know a baby. He doesn't know anything. He can't make the decision on his own. So they must be old enough to have trusted Christ as Savior in order to be baptized. And Jesus is teaching some of those truths in chapter 6. And you must believe on me as a son of God in order to get to heaven. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, you must come to me to get to heaven. And they're saying, he's not bread. You can't be born again. They just didn't understand. It was a simple thing. There comes a point in life when you sit down and say, Lord, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm a sinner. And that's the most difficult thing in being saved, is admitting that you're a sinner to God and saying, Lord, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I know you've got a book with all my sins written in it. And Lord, I want you to forgive that book. Lord, I want you to blot it out because of Jesus. I've got nothing to offer to you. And yet you'll notice in verse 64, he says, and Jesus knew, verse 64, verse 1, verse part of that verse, but there are some of you that believe not. There are always going to be people that don't believe. But folks, today, you can't give up on them. We have to keep praying for them and loving them and inviting them to church and inviting them to Christ and talking about how wonderful Jesus Christ is. All of us in this room, we're representatives. Jesus called us ambassadors. You all represent Christ if you've trusted Christ as Savior. That's why we are to live different, because we represent a different country. We represent the God of heaven, no longer ourselves. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Notice, if you would, in verse number 64, he said, verse 65, and he said, therefore said unto you that no man can come unto me except you're given unto him by the Father. And verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back. What do you mean you can't get to Christ except the Father says it's okay? The Father says everybody's okay. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. So Jesus Christ wants to save everybody. And once we've trusted Christ as Savior, we realize he's chosen us. But everybody in this room can be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Jesus Christ is preaching here, trying to get people to understand that if you're debating it, or if you've already said no, you can change your mind. But are you going to go away? Are you going to make the final decision to leave me, to forsake heaven through me? I want you to notice that some will decide to trust Christ. I like this part. You'll notice that in verse number 68, then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And all of us in this room would say, Lord, I can't go away. There's no other way I can get to heaven but you. Jesus said in John 14, a few passages past this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You and I have to believe that and put our faith and trust in him. And then we can be saved. Well, I notice in this passage, he says in verse 69, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. Have you put your faith and trust in Christ this morning? Have you settled it for all eternity? Some did. We have in this passage, the woman at the well did. The blind man in John chapter 9, he trusted Christ as Savior. They kicked him out of the synagogue, and he was kind of walking around aimlessly, but he had gotten his sight back. And he was thrilled, and Jesus came up to him, and he said, do you know who the Messiah is? He said, no, I wished I knew. He said, I am he. And he said, and the Bible says he prayed and said, Lord, I want you to save me. And he got on his knees, and he worshiped him. So we have stories all throughout the scripture of people who believe. We have people who didn't believe. King Agrippa, he hears the story of Christ from Paul, a prisoner bound in chains, and he looks at him and says that fateful sentence, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, oh, I wish you were like me except for these chains, that you had trusted Christ. Have you received Christ this morning as your Savior? Let your mind go back to the place where you trusted him. Make sure there is a place. Make sure there is a time. Oh, you don't have to remember the date necessarily. How many of you can remember the day you first met your wife or your husband? The day you first asked them out? Raise your hand. Good. You remember the exact day. Now, how many of you cannot remember the exact day? I'll join that group. I don't remember the exact day. How many of you don't remember the exact day? Okay? Don't remember the exact day. But I remember it. I can remember when I first saw her on the church bus. I remember seeing that. I said, wow. Wow. She's a pretty girl and she has a heart for the Lord. Wow. That was what hit me. I'm not going to tell you how old I was. None of your business. But it was young, okay? But I remember it. I can even tell you what state it was in. It was in Arkansas. Traveling through to Texas. I remember it. But I don't remember the date. See, it's not necessary that you remember the date. But there is one. Everybody in this room's got a second birth certificate in heaven. It has a date and the time, the minute you trusted Christ as Savior. You may not remember the date, but you remember the place because you were there. You remember what was going on. You remember in your parents' bedroom. You may not remember all things about it, but you remember asking the Lord to save you. Have you believed in Christ? It's imperative this morning that everybody in this room, or Jesus says, will you also go away? Will you debate it and say, not today, I'll wait? Will you debate it and say, no, I'm not going to trust Christ? But then you'll notice there were two groups of people here. There was a group of people that were disciples. Notice verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more. These are people that had trusted him as Savior and said, "You know, I'm not going to follow him. I believe that he's Messiah, but I'm not going to give up my future for him." And so then he says to the disciples, he looks at the 12 and says, "Will you also go away?" Remember, they followed him everywhere. They had surrendered everything for him. And I noticed that there's a reason why people decide not to follow Christ. There's a reason why people decide not to say yes to the Lord. Number one, a Christian. Now, we're talking about people that are saved here. Will you also go away? Now, you could look at it and say it's sinners that came right up to the edge of trusting Christ, and they said no. But in this passage, he's talking about disciples, those that have trusted Christ as Savior and gone back and decided, I'm going to go do my own thing. And that's really what I want to speak to you about this morning. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior and decided that you're not going to put Christ first, but you're just going to do your own thing? Oh, you'll come to church some, but he's not going to be everything to you. You're not going to be his disciple. You're not going to eat, drink, and breathe Jesus Christ. You're not going to talk with him every day. You're going to talk with him when you need him, but not every day. You're going to go away and do your own thing. I want you to notice Demas was one of those. The Lord Jesus said, Demas hath forsaken me. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me because you love this present world. That's one of the reasons why people go away that are Christians. Why people that were sitting in these pews are no longer here this morning. It's because they fell in love with the world. They decided it was more important to have that new Audi or that new Mercedes or that new Honda. And so in order to do that, I'm going to have to get a job and maybe work extra, and I don't have time really to go to church. I don't really have time to get up in the morning and spend time with the Lord. I'm going to go away a little bit, but I'll get some of the things that I want. Maybe I'll come back later, but I'm not going to follow the Lord. Demas has forsaken me. Saved, but going away. Many times that costs people everything. And today, maybe you're facing some things, some hard times. You know, John Mark in the book of Acts. Now, keep in mind, he wrote the book of Mark. But he got together with Paul and Silas, and he was going with them. Let me ask you this question. Would you and I have gone away? He had seen Paul get up and preach, and he was preaching the truth of the gospel, and the Jews were upset with him, and we're going to kill that guy, and we're going to kill those guys. And just a little bit after John Mark went back, Paul was stoned to death. So he could see it coming. Hard times, my goodness. You know, I don't know that I want to follow Jesus and get stoned. I mean, I don't want to know if I want to follow Paul and Jesus and get stoned. I don't know if I want to do that or not. There was a conscious decision made by John Mark, and you can read it in the book of Acts where he says he turned and went back to his mother's house. Now, there was a church in his mother's house. Now keep in mind, he went back home. He didn't want to follow completely Jesus Christ. He wanted to be a Christian, but not a disciple. Folks, today, look at verse 67. Then Jesus said unto him, the 12, his disciples, his apostles, will ye also go away? Everybody in this room has to decide, will you serve the Lord or not? How much are you going to serve him? Are you going to go all in? Or are you going to say no? No, I got some things I want to do. Hard times. I see some hard times out there. If I trust the Lord, it's going to cost me some friends. Hard times. If I really trust the Lord, I may not be able to keep the same job. If I really trust the Lord and walk with him, I'm not talking about being saved. I'm saying you're already saved. You're deciding whether or not to be a disciple or not. Whether to really follow him or not. You know, everybody in this room's got to make that decision. He says, will you decide to go away? It's a decision that you make every day. Now, I want you to understand this. It's not a decision you make this morning only. It may be a decision you make this morning. Lord, I want you to be first in my life. Lord, I want you to be everything in the world to me. And folks, today, I'm just trying to challenge you to go all in, to give your heart to the Lord, to say, Lord, I'll serve you no matter the cost, hard times or not. Lord, I'll serve you. You know, some people, they fall in love with the world. And so they fall in love with the things of this life. I can't really give to the Lord. I can't really come to church all the time. I got to do this and this and this. You know, I got things around the house I got to do. I'm going to go away a little bit to get what I want. They've fallen in love with the world. Folks, could I challenge you? You're here today. May the Lord bless you for being here. But could I encourage you to jump in with both feet and say, Lord, I want to be faithful. I want to grow. I want to be more like you tomorrow than I am today. Lord, I'm not going away. I'm here to stay because I love you. Do you realize that there are people that go away because of hard times? There's people that go away because they've fallen in love with the world. They felt like it just cost too much. Now, I'll be frank with you. One of the things I'm so grateful to my parents about, when I was young, they taught me to give, to tithe. So I've never, ever, ever known what it's like to have my whole check. I always give a tithe and a little bit more because my parents taught me that. I remember having an envelope and putting a dime in it and then putting a dollar in it. So when I got my first job, it was real easy for me. I remember when we were in school. I was in school last year, school, and my wife and I were working. We both lost our jobs. And it got down to the point where I think I had $50 in the bank left. And I got my first job. And after that, I was working, and I made $67.50. And you know what? I was glad to write that $7 check out to the Lord. Lord, I'm all in. Thank you for the job. I'm all in. But let me tell you, to my shame, about 5 weeks after that, I'd left school. I was going to my first church, and I got a job in Alaska working with my father-in-law building buildings during the pipeline craze. And my first check was $675 for a week, exactly 10 times. And can I tell you, to my shame, I said, Lord, do you need all $70? It was easier to write the $7 check than it was the $70 check. Why is that? The flesh. I'll never forget that. I said, Lord, I'm going to write this $70 check no matter what. And the next week, I made $1,000. It was like the Lord said, I'm just going to test and see if you're going to be faithful. I couldn't write it out for $67.50. That was a tithe. I said, Lord, you've been too good to me to give me this job. Thank you. And so I wrote it out for $70. But I did pause. You know, on a regular basis, you have to decide, Lord, I'm going all in. Lord, I'm going to serve you. Daily, pick up your cross and follow me. That's what he says. Every day you've got to get up in the morning. Lord, this day is for you. Do you realize nobody in this room is promised another day? So if you get up in the morning, you ought to be able to get up and say, Lord, thank you for another day to serve you. If you get up in the morning, you don't hurt. This morning I got up and I didn't hurt anywhere. How many of you got up this morning and you didn't hurt anywhere? Raise your hand. Okay? How many of you were really glad for that? And you told the Lord, Lord, thank you that I don't hurt any place this morning. Maybe you hurt in your wallet because your wife went shopping yesterday, but you say, you know, Lord, I don't hurt any place other than my hip pocket. Other than that, I'm okay, Lord. And Lord, I want to thank you today. I don't hurt. You know, I had an accident where a drunk driver hit me in the back and it broke up some disc in my neck and had to fuse it back together. And every once in a while on an overcast, rainy day, if I've lifted something and I lifted a couple of bags of mulch and stuff around the house, you know, 40, 50 pounds here and there, and there's a twinge comes down my neck and my arm begins to sort of, that thumb doesn't have the same feeling. My arm hurts and it makes sort of a dull throb. Not unbearable, just I know it's there. So I have to sort of ease up and kind of hold that arm still for several hours or a day, and it'll usually go away. It's like it irritates that joint. And this morning I got up, I was hurting yesterday, and this morning I got up and I went, Lord, thank you, I don't hurt any place today. You know what? I should do that every day. Do you realize when you got up this morning, this is the Lord's day, it's not yours and mine. But every day, it's the Lord's day. It's not yours and mine. Are you all in? Lord, what can I do for you today? Could I pray for someone today? Lord, could I witness to someone today? Could I pass out a tract to someone today? Lord, I'm all yours today. Folks, could I encourage you? Don't go away for a car. Don't go away for a job. Don't go away for the world. Don't go away for peer pressure. There's a lot of people that peer pressure, teenagers especially, they won't serve the Lord and do what's right all the way because nobody else is. Somebody's got to lead the way. These 11 disciples said, we're all in. Lord, we're all for you. We want you to know, where else could we go? You have the words of eternal life. Do you understand this morning that Jesus Christ loves you? He's got the words of eternal life. And he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you anyway. But you and I have to learn to put him first. Will you go away? Will you go away for stuff in this life? You know, I've begun to realize the fleeting things of things that used to be important. You know, I remember my wife liked, she liked to entertain people. She liked to have people over and entertain them. And you can't do that on paper plates. At least she says you can't. So, you know, you got to have nice dishes and stuff like that. How many of you got some nice dishes? When people come over, you want to have them on nice dishes. Let me see your hand. Ladies, let me see your hands. How many of you serve everybody on paper plates when you get guests to come over? Let me see your hand. Okay, that's what I thought. Not many people, but a few maybe, okay? If you come to my house, I'm going to give you paper plates. I'll tell you that. And a plastic fork and a knife. And I practiced yesterday. Can I cut this steak? Could I invite somebody over and cut this steak with this plastic fork? I think I can do that. So you know what? I realized that there were some things, and I was looking for a couple things in my, and I opened up the cabinets, and I looked up there, and I saw this beautiful set of white dishes my wife got. Well, those are pretty. Close them back. I don't have to wash those. If I use those, I got to wash them. I don't want to do that. So if you come to my house, paper plates, plastic forks and knives, and I'll just pray the steak is tender so you don't break off your fork. I want you to know that I've realized a lot of things I have. Wow, I didn't really need that. But I bought it at the time. It was real important. You know what I'm beginning to realize? The older you get, you don't need near as much as you thought. But the world will tell you, and all your friends will, hey, you drive up a new car, you got a new suit, you got new clothes, you got a new job, you got this, you got that. You know, I need one of those. And pretty soon, the peer pressure of what everybody else has got weighs on you and I. Be careful of peer pressure. It'll make you go away. I'm gonna take care of me. I'm going to go to the college I want to go to. I'm going to get the degree. I'm going to get the job I want. You know, I want to get a job that makes a lot of money. And I want to, the Lord's not against money. Abraham was rich and Job was rich. The Lord's not against that. And so I want to make a lot of money. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with money at all in this world. And you are right. The Lord did bless Job. He's the richest man of the earth. And the Lord did bless Abraham the same exact way. He had 318 servants. He was filthy rich. But they put the Lord first. And Abraham took his own son up on top of Mount Moriah and said, Lord, I offer him to you. And he was going to slay his own son for an offering. God said, stop. Now I know that you mean business. Let me ask you this. If the Lord asks for anything in your life, would you give it? That's a test. Will you also go away? Who's first? Will you go away? It's a daily decision. You have to purpose to never turn back. Never. You know, horses are built to run, to work. I was at a missions conference, and I got to go by and see the farm where Secretariat was born and raised and died, Claiborne Farms. And I got a chance to go by and see his grave. And I was reminded in my mind the picture of the Belmont race. How many of you remember that? Anybody remember that Belmont race? Well, it was a unique race in all of history. Secretariat holds the record for all three races, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. And the Belmont, there was one horse that came in second, all three of them, on two of them. And on the third one, he said, Secretariat's not built to run the distance. He's not built to keep going. He's going to break down and stop. And I'm going to push him. And he said this publicly, his horse. And so he gets his horse, Sham is his name. He gets his horse, they break out, there's only five or six in the race, and they start out and the stands are full. They're going to see if this Secretariat can give it his all one last time. A lot of horses have won two races, but not the third of the Triple Crown. No one had won it in 27 years. So they, out of the gate they go, and around the first turn, and Sham's right there on his side, pushing him. All around, fastest first quarter they'd seen in a long time, to the second quarter. And it's the next fastest. And then the third quarter. And they're down to three quarters of a mile. And it's a mile and a half long, halfway down. And Sham is right there pushing him. And the owners in the stands, you can say, keep pushing him, keep pushing him. And there's a lot of people that do that to Christians. Push them until they break. Push them until they break. Push them. You can have this, I've got it. You can have this, I've got it. You can have it too. And push them and push them. And they're trying to get you to go back on Jesus Christ to say, it's not worth it. And they come around the back turn, come down the home stretch, and sham starts to fade. And he's 5 or 6 lengths behind. And the announcer made the statement, he's starting to fade. I wonder if he can keep up. And Secretariat, the horse, never slowed down. They actually said, I'm afraid he's going to kill him. Because no horse can keep this pace. And if you know the story, he won by 32 lengths. The largest margin in the history of the Belmont. Why? It was like Secretariat. We need to be the Secretariat type Christians. We make up our mind and we run and we run and we run and we don't slow down until Jesus calls us home. Would you rather quit or burn out? One of the two. Just give it your all for Jesus Christ. Well, I noticed in this passage, Jesus looks at people, his own disciples. He sees the thousands go away, and he looks at his own disciples, and he says, will you also go away? So I want to ask you this morning, will you also go away? Will your name be sham? Yes, you want to go a long ways, but you always come in second because you just don't have what it takes to give it your all. Can I encourage you? To go all in. I'm reminded of this. Every Christian that goes away, they're still going to heaven, but they're a disappointment to Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I remember coming home after I was out with my wife when we were still dating, and I remember always trying to do the right thing because I would come in to the front door, and I'd hear my mother praying beside the bed, keep my boy safe in the back room. I couldn't do wrong, period, because I remember hearing those prayers. I have to do the right thing. You know, I noticed that John Mark didn't do the right thing. He quit and went back. But if you'll remember, there was a point in time where he says, you know, I made a mistake. I went back home because I was afraid to die. I thought Paul and Silas were just too into it. They just didn't leave any room for fun. They just didn't leave any room for, and this is the mindset of the Christian that goes back. I just want to do some things I want to do. Whenever you say, Lord, I'm yours, all yours, whatever you want me to do. Lord, I'm not going away. I'm reminded that John Mark came back. And Paul the Apostle never thought he would. And he made this statement, bring Mark to me, for he is profitable to me. And by the way, God said he's profitable to me too. Mark, would you write the second book of the New Testament? That was written by a quitter that decided to turn around. Go the right direction. You know, today, I want to read you a verse. I'd like for you to turn with me. I want you to see what God says if you want to turn around. 2 Chronicles 30. 2 Chronicles 30. I want you to see what God says if you've messed up a little bit. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've not gone all in. Maybe you have gone back a little bit. Not gone all the way back into sin, but you've just gone back a little bit to where Jesus is not first in your life. He's important to you, but he's not everything to you. There's a difference. Notice 2 Chronicles 30, verse number 9. For if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. In other words, if you're in a foreign land, you come back to me. In your heart, he says, I'll bring you back. For the Lord your God is, and I have it underlined in my Bible, gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if we return unto him. What a great God we serve. If you said, Lord, I'm going to keep you second or third. Lord, I've got my own things. Demas could have come back and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I want you to be first. And the Lord said, Demas, welcome home. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. The Lord Jesus loves his children. And I love the fact that he said, I'll not turn my face away from you. When I see you come back to the Lord's house and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm back. I want to come back. You know why a lot of Christians don't come back to the church? They're embarrassed. And they think somebody will laugh at them. They think that the Lord won't take them back. And yet, the Lord gave us the example of the prodigal son. The father's waiting every day. Are they coming back? Is he coming back? And when he saw his son, you read the story in Luke 15, he went to his servants. He said, kill the fatted calf. My son, he's coming home. He's coming home. I see him. He's coming home. And when he came up to his dad, he said, Dad, I want you to know I'm no more long worthy to be your son. That's got to be the attitude. But he was always his son. He just went away for a while. He wasted what God had given him, what his father had given him. Today, maybe you're here today. And you're contemplating going away. You're thinking about, well, I don't have time for my devotions. I don't have time. Maybe I can cut this or cut that. I'm busy. Are you going away? Remember this. If you make up your mind, Lord, I want to come back. He holds out his arms and face to face, welcome home, son. Today, you have a God, I have a God, that cannot be offended past you're forgiven. He can forgive anything from anybody because he loves you. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. Will you also go away? Could I challenge you today to decide to follow the Lord? Maybe you said this being a Christian thing is a little too much trouble. Cost too many friends. Cost. The Lord makes up the difference. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've had a rough week. Haven't prayed as much as I should have. Haven't had my devotions. I didn't really want to come to church this morning. But I did. Could I encourage you to come and go all in again? Remember, daily pick up your cross. If the old devil can get you to go away for one day, then he can say maybe another day and maybe another day. That's the way he gets us to turn away from Christ for a while. But remember, the Lord's always looking over the hill saying, will my servant come home? Give me his heart. Go all in. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I have had a rough week or a rough month or rough year. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Just slip up your hand, all of the building. Just slip it up. Yes, yes. Many hands all over. Yes, yes. Don't go away. Put the Lord first. Let him take care of it. He said, I'll not turn my face away from you. What a great Savior. Maybe you're here and you say, this pastor, if I died today, I don't know to go to heaven. Could I encourage you to step out of your seat, come to this altar and talk to me? I'll help you get it settled. And you can leave here knowing you're on your way to heaven. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. Whatever the Lord Jesus touches your heart about, will you please do it? Go all in. I've decided to follow Jesus. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. Everyone in this room, give them the courage to step out and do your will. In your name we pray.